anything that needs to be manufactured from a carbon point perspective starts off as an idea. It then needs to be turned into a tangible 3D. So that process is where the patent shop kicks in. So from a designer's perspective, they come up with their scheme, turns into a digital image. We then receive that via CAD/CAM. We use CAD/CAM packets down here, and we turn basically a 2D image into a 3D image. So if you look behind you, the example we got here, this is a driver's seat. Now, for the purposes of a driver's seat, quite simply, we go through the process of taking a body cast of them through PU foam. I don't know if anybody's seen PU foam, very straightforward two-part foam mix, which gives basically a tailored shape to the driver. From that tailored shape, what we do, we use this bit of equipment behind us, which is a digital scanner. And basically, that will scan the entire surface and turn it into a 3D image. Sorry, a 2D image, a virtual image. From that, we can turn it into a 3D image, which is what you see behind you. Now, that is generated on one of the multi-axis, five-axis machines out there. I'll show you those on the way back through. That's a very particular material, which is a syntactic epoxy resin foam. And it has to be that those sort of materials have to be used due to the processes that are subsequent going that way into composites. You couldn't use woods, etc., due to thermal stability materials, etc. So that's obviously a man-made item. So what you've got there then is a 3D image. Now that's the terminology of that is a pattern. Hence the word pattern shop. So if we look behind us now, on that far end there, so that there is a low temperature carbon fibre mould. So basically what we've taken a male out of a female, basically. So now you've got a master mould, and from that master mould, basically you can just take repetitive numbers off, depending on how many you need to make it, etc. So it's very process-driven pattern making, composite, right, anything in this environment. And it's quite simply, you go from a 2D to a 3D to producing, and in that case there, that's the final component, that's what beaten up this one now. But particularly for seeds, if we go back to seeds in particular, they're very tailored to the individual, you know, everyone's got different shapes, sizes, heights, weights.
Who's that side we're looking at the moment?
Anybody wants to rub the bottom of the seed, they can carry on.
How many rub places do they last?
What, a seed?
Yeah.
When we take the cart of a driver in, it's in a stable environment, a non-dynamic environment. So if you can imagine your seat at home, you'll get comfortable. Then you start putting loads through it, G-forces. Little lumps and bumps are obviously going to get exaggerated.
Yeah.
You know, if you imagine entering a corner at a fair speed and you've got a particular... So what you tend to find, they're very fluid seats are. But having said that, once you pack it for a driver, if you get the seat that he's happy with, that's when you nail them. And it never go off, it'll never seat. They get very protective of their seat. And rightly so, to be fair. But they're a very integral part of the car now, because we have to work to FIA regulations now and getting drivers out of seats, out of cars, and then unfortunately then push on. But they're all bespoke, so I've tailored suit quite simply.
Yeah.
In terms of numbers, I think they carry on the trucks now. I think it's three seats, basically in case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But once a driver locks into his favourite seat, you'd have to fight him to get it off.
Yeah. You know. If they crash it, do they have to replace the seat straight away just in case?
It depends. I mean, we've got the facility for NDTs, etc. If it was a clear crack in a particularly pertinent area, then yes, they would probably remanufacture it. But we do lots. I don't know if we cut and shut this one. But have you seen over this area here? This is different. This is like a silver sort of a heat coil. But we've done a local modification to a seat there.
Yeah.
So crunching the driver's side, his shoulders hurting or something, or maybe he had broke something. So they can get mended, but only up to a level.
Yeah, yeah.
That does come a natural point to say that, you know, that's not...
How much it costs a manufacturer?
If someone said to me today, we need to make a brand new seat, well, it depends what he considers how much the cost is. If you had to start from scratch, I would argue that's a week's worth of anybody. So, £20 an hour. Yeah, I mean, and materials alone, I'd say you're going towards tens of thousands, to be honest.
Do they fit into the car superstructure with the fittings that that's got?
Yeah, every shot, I don't know if you've seen a chassis yet, but quite simply, on the race bay, the seat location, because obviously the chassis will be interchangeable for different drivers. So what we do is standardise the pickup points. So these details here, on the shoulder pickup points and on the underside, basically if you get to see a car, you'll see two pegs in the bottom of the car. So any driver can go in and out. The only thing that would change would be his pedal setups and things like that. But they've got to go in and out quite quickly, obviously.
In the
states in IndyCars earlier in the season when Graham Rainbow picked up Dan Manning at the very last moment, his old 2 points and his old seat across. Is there a sense in which the seat is something that goes with the driver and you would cars obviously Williams is he lose the drive to nothing?
No. I think with IndyCar, because it's a mass production environment, they'd have a nominal seat. We took an idea off of Indy, quite simply. We do lots of young driver fits, and drivers do check. So we made an oversized seat, quite simply. But due to the environment of a racing car, you can have an oversized seat in there. Now, what Indy did, which was very clever, they made it what we call a gut bucket seat, which is not a very good terminology, but it is an oversized seat. Yeah, and likewise. And what they use is a Confor infill, which is basically... I don't know what Confor stands for, I don't think it's a trade name, but basically it's just like an inner seat, so like an insole in your shoe.
Right.
So you get an outer shape, and then the driver will walk around with this infill. So that's a perfectly good question. They would take their infill seat and stick it in the oversized seat.
So it's a degree of customisation.
Their seats are far more comfy as well. The environment, if you ever see an Indy car up close to an F1 car, they're night and day, to be honest.
What happens if you get Justin Wilson through the door? If you get,
that's the sad thing. Due to the environment of the racing car, there's legalities where I think there's a head height and there's a knee height and an evacuation routine. You have to meet all those criteria. Now, in Justin Wilson's case, I think he's 6'1", and we were sanding his boots at one stage. It was ridiculous. We got his head down low because they want that for performance.
Yeah.
His knees went too high.
Oh,
so we got his knees down low and his head went too high. So the poor old boy, he cut his legs off.
Adam Khan lost his season, didn't he? Because they couldn't get, he's 6'1", and they couldn't get him in the
end. That's right, yeah. Which is a great show. A designer, they're looking to, they want jockeys in there, don't they? They're minimum weight.
As you noticed, we were at the suit release on the media day, and they had a slower driver, but just standing waiting to be interviewed, and there's about that much difference between the
From a seat perspective anyway, people seem to think the seats is just a seat, but from an engineering perspective, it's an awful lot of work, and it's very integral to the car. But from a pattern making process, the sole purpose of the pattern shop is to turn a 2D item into a 3D final shape.
Do you have to change them much if they gain weight?
We broke drivers' ribs because they got big, or in Webber's case, he was too lean.
Yeah.
He was like a butcher's dog. I think Montoya's claim to fame was sort of like when he ate 8 kilograms heavier at the end of a season, at the start of a season, but he actually won when he was heavier. So the myths were sort of blown out of water of being lean and mean. But no,
because he said he was just a bit of a burger eater, wasn't he?
He was, nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But no, we do, and to be honest, their fitness levels change. I mean, say, like, pre-season, they will go out and ever to get, so if you look at a lot of drivers now, they're very, very lean, aren't they?
Yeah.
Little to them. And naturally, the training regime probably goes down a little bit. Bottom
weight.
It's always a huge moment for a young driver that they have their seat fitting with a tape. It seems to be a real sort of almost a rite of passage.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, they don't get much sympathy. Treat you like the apprentice, really. But, it's a passage of ropes, I suppose, isn't it?
Have you had details from
there? Yeah,
he must have.
He's German, which is
nice. When you get a driver in the system, it's like a straight line test, and you're only going to be in for one day.
That's very good, because quite simply, there are levels of seats. But I mean, we used to do a lot of young driver evaluation, and you wouldn't go to the amount of trouble. So that's where we adopted the idea of an Indy seat.
Right.
And you've got this oversized seat, and quite simply, we just use 2-part foam as an infill. It's got a level of, you could probably do at a push 3 or 4 days, which would be certainly sufficient for an evaluation.